Hi, welcome to The Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Redman. Today I'm speaking with artist Carrie Schmidt, who lives near Seattle, Washington. Carrie's artwork is beautiful, colorful, painted flowers. You can see her art on her website, Carrie Schmidt Design, as well as in her book, Painted Blossoms. She is also a retreat facilitator and teaches classes in the Pacific Northwest and next year in France. We talk about her one-year project, called the Single Rose Project, where she handed out a rose to one person every day for a year. And we also talk about her newest adventure, Rosie's Art Bus, which is her mobile art studio. You'll be amazed to learn that she's only been painting for 10 years after drastically changing her life and her home base following a debilitating illness. Her story is inspiring, and I really had fun talking with her. This is Carrie Schmidt. Hi, Carrie. It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for talking with me today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So excited to meet you for real.
I know. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, this is great. We've known each other for a while. We were trying to figure out from when. I think it must have been an online class that we took many years ago because we truly live on opposite ends of the country. So I'm in Florida and you're in Washington.
That's right. Yeah.
Have you been in Washington a long time?
Almost a decade. Yeah. So right after I started painting, we moved here to just outside Seattle.
Okay, great. Well, my parents actually lived in Seattle for a while, so I have a little bit of a connection there. My brother did as well. He lives in Portland, Oregon now.
But I love Portland.
Seattle is, yeah, and Seattle's just such a beautiful town, and I know it's got the reputation for being rainy, but boy, when the sun opens up and you see the flowers everywhere, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really pretty here.
Yeah, your artwork. Can you describe your artwork a little bit? I'll have some photos on my website, but describe what you paint, because I feel like you must be inspired by where you live.
Yeah, I paint a lot of color. So I do florals, a lot of feminine faces emerge and female figures. But I do use a lot of saturation and color. And actually, it's quite a contrast to Seattle, which I noticed when I moved here. A lot of the people wear really earth tones, like neutrals and grays and greens and blues. So it's definitely a burst of color. Yeah. My influence, I spent a lot of time in the South when I was a kid, and the Midwest, where I'm from. And I found that those cultures are a lot more colorful than out here. So I think I'm bringing a lot of color to the area.
Yeah. And for me, being from Florida, where everything is so green year round, just green, green, green. Mm-hmm. And then I go out to Seattle. I think it's so colorful because of all the flowers, because there's so many different flowers that are grown there that we don't see here. So I think of it as colorful. But yeah, I get what you're saying about the clothes, a little bit drab when you're thinking of if you're not from Seattle and the only thing you can think of is the grunge wear of the 90s. Yeah, that's a little bit monochromatic.
Yes. It was actually shocking to me coming from an outside perspective. Yeah, I'm just used to a lot more color. But hopefully I'm bringing it to the area.
Yes, you definitely are. Yes.
Yeah.
Where did you get started in art? And how did you get to the style that you have today?
Yeah, so I started about 10 years ago. I was sick and I was bedridden. I developed a life-threatening allergy to heat, but I was allergic to my own body heat, so I could barely move. And I was stuck in bed for several months, and I couldn't go outside because it was hot in Cincinnati in the summer. And so one day a voice popped in my head and said, now that your life is over, you might as well do what you want and paint. And I didn't even know I wanted to paint. That was a dream I had, squashed a long time ago. I mean, now I remember loving it, but at the time that was a really foreign idea, except I was so depressed that I didn't really have anything else going for me. So I decided to start painting in bed, and I ordered supplies and I just started experimenting. I watched some online videos, And it was the only time I forgot my situation. So I think what's important about that is the relationship I have with art from the beginning was really love-based. It wasn't fear-based. It was from the beginning complete gratitude and devotion. So I don't have a lot of fear for the process because it saved my life. So when I paint, it's from a place of love. And I've met a lot of people that get a little nervous when they're creating or like fearful or not trusting. And I've never had those feelings for art. It's been like just complete love. And so that's a beautiful beginning and it's a beautiful place to work from. So that's all I've ever known. And so when I teach, it's really fun for me to be able to share that. It's a little bit different. Most of the students that come to me do have a lot of anxiety about painting and creating. And so it's just it was a beautiful beginning. Painful, but beautiful.
Oh, that's wonderful. right. Yeah, you had to get through that. But, you know, I guess your mind subconsciously knew that painting is what was going to do it for you and give you that breakthrough. Yeah. That's wonderful then.
Yeah.
So that happened while you were still in Cincinnati. You started the painting there. And then was it that you searched for a less warm environment to move to? Is that what made you come to Seattle?
Exactly. I went to the Mayo Clinic and the doctors basically told me, you know, you should move to the Pacific Northwest. There's nothing they can do really for this type of problem. So, you know, we decided to take an adventure and move out west. So that's why we did it. And I did get a lot better. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. So you moved with your whole family?
Yeah, we all moved out here. It was hard to say goodbye to our family in the Midwest, but, you know, we were excited for a change. So
there you go.
I've healed a lot since. I can do a lot more now. So it was a good move.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. It seems like you're really thriving there. And your paintings are just so beautiful and happy. You can tell that they come from a place of love and happiness, contentment, whatever you want to call it. You can tell just by looking at your paintings. Yeah, that's great. So you did the painting for yourself, but at some point it came out to, you brought your paintings out to the world. How did that happen?
It just kind of unfolded, sort of on its own. I would get really excited about what I was creating and I like to share. So I just started sharing online with friends and family. But I had a lot of encouragement from them all. And, I don't know. I've never felt shy about sharing. I know some people feel like they're going to be judged, but, I guess I don't worry about that because that's really not what it's about for me, you know? I just put it out there and then had positive response and kept doing it. And I grew my business online. So I signed up for Kelly Ray's business class accidentally. I thought it was a painting class and I signed up without reading the description because I was so excited. It was the business course for artists. And I was like, I don't even know how to paint, but because this was at the beginning. But it taught me from the beginning, it felt like serendipity. Like I learned right off the bat, like how to sort of grow this as a business. So I got really lucky. There was a lot of magic involved in how this all unfolded for me. So yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I think, you know, not a lot of people admit that there's a lot of magic that came into things. That, you know, they want to explain things away, but it's okay if that's what happened, you know, and... Right. I think that's tremendous that you came into her class because that's where I met you. And this is Kelly Ray Roberts. She had a class called Flying Lessons, which was online. And she was so generous with her information and so knowledgeable. Yeah. I couldn't believe how much information was in that class about the business of being an artist and how much was given to us for the price that we paid for the class.
Yeah, right. It was such a great way to start.
Yeah. And it was also a great community because we all got to know each other. And this was before Facebook and Instagram, right? Or before we were all deeply into that. I don't know.
Everything online was just starting to take off. I think it was one of the first online classes that I knew about. And we had just started kind of, I feel like artists really started using it as a means to, you know, promote themselves and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Right. So you took that class and then how did you digest all that information and then get started? Especially since you weren't even sure that's what you were getting into.
Yeah. I just took little pieces of it, and my practice has always been to do a little bit every day. So instead of looking at it, because it could have been seen as a like overwhelming amount of information, I feel like I just kind of chip away at it, like do something every day. I have a like kind of belief that I have to do one thing every day in the direction of my dream. So whatever, it could be something small, but I have to do at least one thing to stay connected to that. And I think that's what I did, is just little, you know, consistency, little tiny actions on a daily basis. They really add up. So that's kind of how I approached it.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I love that I looked at it and said, wow, what a wealth of information. This is amazing. And you did look at it and say, it's a little overwhelming, but to take one thing at a time. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're staying connected to your dream.
I did whatever felt like kind of natural to me, what I enjoyed the most. Like, I don't enjoy Twitter, so I never use that because I don't like it. And so I did what kind of my naturally gravitated to doing, because if I don't have that natural inclination, I probably won't stick with it. So I kind of let that guide me. Like, I really love Instagram. So like, I'm really active on there, you know, cause it's fun for me. And it's, whereas Twitter, I'm like, oh, you know, it feels like a job or something. So that's how I kind of just make decisions too.
No, that's a good way to do it, because I think a lot of times people will go to marketing seminars or they'll read an article online or something, and it says, oh, you can do Twitter and do this, and you can do Pinterest and do this, and Instagram and do this. And they think that means that they need to do all of them, when you don't. And you have to do with what you're comfortable. It can't be a chore. Mm-hmm. And Instagram, I think artists and creatives have naturally gravitated toward that because it's photo based. Yeah.
Right.
So you can just have it can just be one photo of what you did that day, and with a little bit of some words. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So when did you start, how did you get your first sale selling your artwork?
It started with friends and family. I was pricing my stuff really cheaply too at the time, which is, because that was kind of the quality of it at that time. And they were just really supportive. I had a show at a doctor's office. I don't know, you know, people supporting emerging artists, it means so much. Like, their encouragement and kind words that really like propelled me to keep going. So I'm really grateful to have that. That's important. And then I put myself on Pinterest. I like Pinterest a lot too. And I had Hallmark found me, and my agent found me, and like two companies in England found me, and they, you know, they really like flowers. And so I got my licensing deals from Pinterest, but at that time Instagram wasn't big. So now I feel like there's more agents and things like that, design directors looking on Instagram, but I think they still are on Pinterest too. So that's kind of how it took off. But you know, I never had any expectations of that happening. I just followed, you know, my passion and my heart, and you know, good stuff happened. So yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just kept creating too. Just kept making paintings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. And I think you've definitely developed a beautiful style, a style that's all your own.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's see. What do we want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about the Rose project that you did?
Yeah, sure. So about a year ago, over a year ago now, I was just going through some like personal heartache, and I was kind of becoming cynical about like love and goodness. And I didn't want to become like that. Like, I've always been pretty optimistic and like just kind of a believer in like goodness and love. And so I could like physically feel my heart hardening, like physically feel that. And, you know, my family has a history of heart disease, and I'm like, I will, you know, this, I can feel how this is affecting my body. So I started meditating a lot, and I heard this, you know, voice telling me that I should, this phrase kept entering, and it was follow the roses, everything will be okay. You know, follow the roses, you'll be healed. So I was kind of like, okay, I don't know what that means, but it kept happening. And then, I was like kind of in the meditation prayer one day, and I was like, I'm just tired of giving. Like, I want to receive. I'm so tired. And that, you know, I heard this voice say like, you need to give more. And I was kind of like, well, like mad, like shut up, like how that's obnoxious, you know. But
right.
Basically, there's a little more to the story, but it triggered a memory of my grandfather. He used to give my grandmother a rose every month, and because it was her favorite flower. So I had a couple experiences that kind of led me to the realization that I should give roses away every day for a year in honor of my grandparents, and just to stay soft to, you know, love and openness. So I did that. I gave a rose away every day, and I was going to share the stories about it as it happened on social media, but really big, like deep things started happening. It required a lot more reflection. There were like massive transformations going on in my life. So I decided to write a memoir about it instead. So I wrote daily about the project, and then I'm still kind of editing the memoir and, you know, revising that. But so that was a project that really transformed my life. I call it an accidental spiritual pilgrimage because it became a spiritual pilgrimage, even though I didn't intend it to be one at all. So lots of surprises. But the way it affected my creativity, it was really a beautiful experience in that every day I would have these interactions with strangers, and often they were quick and, you know, just pleasant and like heartwarming. But other times there were these big connections we made, and they would tell me these incredible stories, and there were tears, and there's, you know, meaning to them behind the rose. And I would share these stories, and my friends would say, like, how are you doing this? Like, how are you finding these people? This is magic. These are miracles. How are you doing it? And it made me realize, there's always this like creative force out there, and we're always invited to participate in it, but we have to co-create these moments, these miracles. And so doing that on a daily repetitive basis, I was connecting with that creative force every day in this new way. You know, I paint, but this was a different, interaction. And so when I would approach my canvas, I knew that force is always there. Like, we just need to like dip into it. And so when I have no doubt when I go paint now that we're like swimming in this, and that it's always accessible to us, which a lot of people, when they approach their canvas, they're like, I hope everything goes well today. Like, I hope I don't have, you know, writer's block or artist block. And that's not there for me. It's like, no, that's always available to us. So it really strengthens my relationship with creativity to the point where I'm in complete surrender to it. When I paint, I have no fear. I have complete trust and faith that this exists. And that's like massively transformative as an artist to have. I already kind of had that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But now it's like, there's no doubt. It was incredibly powerful to me. And really exciting. So it's transformed my relationship with my art, and it's done other things. The project brought a lot into my life as well, but that's been the biggest thing. So it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So can you explain just what you were physically doing? So you were giving a rose out to somebody once a day for 365 days. Where did you go? And did you walk around for a while kind of thinking about who to give it to, or how did you do this?
Well, I tried to make it, as, you know, easy as possible in fit it in my daily routine. Otherwise I wouldn't do it. You know, it's like, I don't have the means or ability to go travel to some exotic lands and like, you know, have a big spiritual pilgrimage. But if I can work it into my daily routine, then it's doable. So, you know, just, I did a lot at the market, like the coffee shops, but I did notice, I was living in like a bubble. I noticed that after a couple of weeks, it's like, I was going to the same places every day. I had given everyone in this one market a rose, like everyone that worked there. And I was like, you know what? I need to get out. Like, I'm kind of stuck in this little pattern circle of my life. So I challenged myself to once a week go somewhere new to give the rose away. And so that kind of got me out of my comfort zone.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But I would just, you know, I would just meet and look around. And if I saw someone who I thought needed the rose, and I would give it to him. And I feel like I got better at it. Like, I started letting the rose kind of guide me more intuitively, which I paint intuitively too. So again, it was like another practice of, following your intuition, which is connected to my art. So it was practicing these skills outside of my studio. And it seemed like often what happened is the rose was like meant to find that person. And that's where that magic and like unbelievable stories were coming. Like, somebody had just lost a loved one and they thought it was a sign from their loved one that they were okay. Or this one woman's husband used to give her a rose every month, but he had died. And she started crying and she said, I feel like this is from him. Like, he's telling me he's okay. And I said, that's why I'm doing the project, because my grandfather used to give my grandmother a rose every month. So it was, you know, it was really cool. And on my birthday, I gave a 94-year-old woman a rose, and it happened to be her birthday. I didn't know. So it was just kind of cool that, like, we had all these.
That's great.
Yeah, one woman found out she was pregnant the night before. So she felt like it was just a message that, you know, everything was going to be okay. And she was really moved, too. So,
very nice.
Yeah, so it was beautiful. It was a fun project.
Oh, absolutely. So maybe this might be a hard question to answer, but how did you end it?
Did you miss it? Yes. So what happened is I'm writing this memoir, and I, you know, I'm getting towards the end of, and I'm like, something has to happen. Like, you know, like I need an ending, you know? And so I was kind of like, what if nothing happens? Although that wasn't why I was doing it, but you know, as I'm working on it, I'm like, what's going to happen? And a lot happens, of course, but, I decided to, the last day, give roses at a women's shelter in Seattle called Hope Place. So my friend and I went and we gave, we gave away roses and pastries. There's an old, campaign slogan for women's rights and union rights from the early 1900s, bread and roses, like, give us bread and roses. So the basics, but they also wanted the beauty. Mm-hmm. So we kind of, that's where the idea came from. And so, yeah, we spent the day there and we gave them roses and we served them cake and it was really fun and met some incredible people. I met a woman who told me her story that was like the perfect ending to my year. It was like unbelievable. So, you know, again, like lots of magic happened that day.
Yeah. That sounds like a great way to end it instead of just ending it because it's a day on the calendar. You made it a very special day.
Yeah, I had some people suggest that I give roses to some like famous celebrities in Seattle and like make a big day of it. And I was like, you know, I want to give roses to people who need them the most. And those women, I can relate to them. And, you know, the place was called Hope Place, which I thought was really like ironic because I kind of started from this place of like hopelessness and to finish there with these women. And there's a big story there. So, I mean, I share that. All of that in the memoir too.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Is this a memoir that you hope to publish one day?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Or is it just for you?
No, I'm hoping to publish it. I'm still like kind of wrapping it up, still editing it and looking for a publisher. And if I don't find a publisher, I'll just self-publish it. But yeah, I definitely want to share the story. It was pretty amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a big undertaking. Have you done other writing as well?
Yeah, I wrote an art technique book called Painted Blossoms. I think it came out in 2015. So I've done that. That was a lot easier than the memoir.
Okay.
Yeah, the memoir was a labor of love. It's hot. It's been a lot of work. So it's fun.
Yes, and I understand that I mean, just congratulations, just that you've gotten to the end or near the end of your memoir. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Painted Blossoms is a book that you wrote. You said it came out in 2015. So it's just amazing to me that in a 10-year period, you've done this painting and 3 years ago, and I guess 4 or 5 years ago when you first started that book, you were already doing a book. That's tremendous. Yeah. It sounds like your painting business just went very fast and very full right away.
Yeah. It's funny. It doesn't feel that way, but I guess like relatively it looks that way. But yeah, to me, I feel like I'm still like struggling and I'm still trying to figure it out. So yeah, I guess it, yeah. I mean, I got lucky in a lot of ways, but I wake up and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But yeah, it's been a leap of faith. That was a real big blessing.
Yeah, maybe that's why you're doing so well, because you're not overanalyzing it. You're just doing it. And you're like what you said about the class, where you just take a little bit, one little thing each day that gets you closer to your dream or goes with your dream. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for better or worse. I don't overanalyze. So
good.
That can be a good
like
and bad.
For you.
Sometimes, you know, your worst quality is also your best asset, I guess. But yeah, I mean, every night, I just, before I go to bed, I just ask myself, like, did I do the best I could do today? And, you know, because there's always more you can do. I mean, and that can be really intimidating, right. But it's just, as long as I'm doing, I know I'm doing the best I can, you know, that's all you can do. So, but yeah, I mean,
right.
It's been a wild ride.
That's great.
Yeah.
So tell me about, you started teaching and you do workshops and retreat.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've been sharing your talent or your skills, or how did you get your first teaching?
I think people started reaching out to me, asking me to teach. So people that host retreats or want it, or a gallery that they have retreat or they have workshops here, they asked me. So people started approaching me. And then when I did it, I just realized that how much I loved it and how it was. I love people. I'm not introverted. I like being around people. Even when I'm painting, they don't distract me. And even when I did the Rose Project, like I find my sense. Yeah, I find my spirituality in other people. So, it's really important to me. So I just found I loved that connection that I was making with these students. And then I was witnessing these massive like transformations in 3 days. It was happening so fast. And I was just, intrigued by that, because you can see the energy of the first day versus the last day. They're like completely different people, and the group as a whole, the room feels different. Yeah. I mean, it happened so quickly. So, I love teaching. I feel like it's a completion of why I'm an artist, and my personality is like, this is what I'm meant to do. So I consider that my sacred work, to be able to share this with other people.
That's great.
I love doing it. Yeah.
Tell me some of the places where you have already taught or where you're planning to taught, because looking at your website, a few of them sound so beautiful and exotic.
Yeah. Some are. What's coming up?
Tell me about, you have something coming up in France?
Yeah, well, that actually is a year. It's a year from now. It was supposed to be this year, but I wasn't able to go. So I'm going to go next year. And this November, I have a retreat on Vashon Island, which is in Washington. It's a really beautiful island. It's kind of a throwback to a different era. So the minute get on the island, you kind of like take a deep sigh, and I was like, oh, you can just feel the relief. But it's on a lavender farm, and it's the first retreat I've ever done where we're making a video documentary about our time together. Because I've noticed, I know I'm really excited to do it. I've wanted to do it for a couple of years. On these retreats, there's all these really magical moments that happen that you can't predict. And, there's the women's stories are phenomenal. Like that always blows me away that people are sharing these incredible stories. And I really want these stories to be out there. So, a way to capture that would be like this beautiful visual documentary video. So we're going to do that. And our theme, this first one, is transformation. So everyone's going to be interviewed, and then we're just going to record our time, our painting, and the different rituals and activities and ceremonies that we do. And then, I hope it's just this organic, like, co-creation. We're going to come together and just nobody knows what's going to happen. It just whatever unfolds will unfold. And again, that's just having faith in the process that it never fails. So every retreat I've been on has been incredibly beautiful. And the women are what make it that way. So I'm excited. That's in November. And then,
that's great. How many women will be there?
Goal is between 6 and 8, which is smaller than my normal retreats. But since we're doing the video, I wanted a more intimate group to really have time for everyone's stories. I think it'll be really cozy. We all stay in the same place, and it's really life changing. I've never met anyone on the retreat who hasn't said like their life has changed because of it. They're just really powerful experiences. And my hope is that everybody gets to experience it at one point, you know, in their life. But
that's great.
Yeah.
And that's on Vashon Island. Is that at the Art Hotel?
Yeah. It's like my dream is to just like have a space for women to come and take a retreat and just, check in and do their own projects, but be in a supportive community. So the Art Hotel is a little different. I don't actually teach at that. It's more like a residency where people come and they can stay there and they work on whatever project is calling them. So if they want to work on their writing or their quilting or knitting or painting or, any creative project that you just need to get away. and make that time for yourself. But then you're with a group of women and, you know, you can have your meals together or take little day trips if you want, but it's more geared to like, you're creating your own unique retreat that you design in this space. So, I mean, I'm really excited about that. That's next year. Yeah.
Okay, that's 6 years. So I apologize. I got the two events mixed up because they're both on Vashon Island,
right?
They're
both on Vashon Island. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So the art hotel is unstructured. And then the one you're doing this, did you say October?
Yeah.
Is teaching and transformative, and you'll be making the video documentary. Okay.
Yeah. And the one in November is my kind of
November.
Normal,
okay.
Typical offering. But the only difference is we are going to be creating this video. So we'll be doing some writing and reflection and more storytelling than we normally do. But we're also painting as well. So yeah, I mean, it's my retreats have kind of evolved so that I've noticed like there is a lot of storytelling on these retreats and like how to capture that. And but yes, the one next summer, the art hotel, it is unstructured, which I think is really important too. Like we need some downtime and to create that space for ourselves. Cause even when we go to a retreat, it's like someone else is, taking charge for us, you know? And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. But at the same, we're so not used to just creating that space to see what happens for us, you know, when we're not instructed and we're not controlled. And like, so, I mean, I'm a big proponent of that, which is why I'm offering the art hotel too. So, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. I think that some retreats can be very scheduled, very structured, and you're go, go, go. And for people who have flown in from out of town just to get there, they're maybe suffering from jet lag, but you have to start right away because you signed up for this class and it starts at 9 a.m. and you know, it can be a little crazy. So I think people need to, I don't know, schedule the unstructured, schedule the unscheduled.
I know. I think that's really, and that's hard for us to allow ourselves to, but it is really important. As even for your creativity, I know I teach yoga and I've been in yoga classes and the instructor will say like, okay, now for the next 5 minutes, like, do whatever you want. And we all look around and we're like, we're so used to being told what to do. It's like, that's important. And that's part of your creativity is like when, you know, now I have to create something on my own without someone telling me. I mean, kids do it all the time, but adults, we get really used to that structure. And so, just take a step back.
Right.
And see, you know, what's calling us.
Well, I think, and I think with, you know, how everybody's connected with their phones, I think the teenagers, the kids get the bad reputation of, oh, they always have their phones in their hands. But, well, we do too. You know, we do.
I know.
And we're looking at our phones for so many reasons throughout the day, and to be able to just sit there and not have it in your hand and say, what do you want to do? That's a hard question to answer for some people. Because they've kind of gotten out of practice. They've gotten out of practice of just filling their time with something that they really want to do, that they will know they will enjoy.
Yeah. And that creating quiet and creating space is probably the most powerful thing we can do as creative people. But we don't let ourselves do that. It feels wasteful and, you know, we don't value it. So, but it is so important. I mean, kind of relearning that. Yeah. And trusting that. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. How many retreats or workshops do you think you'll be doing in the next 365 days?
I think maybe 4 to 5, maybe. There's a couple that are in the planning stages.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good number.
Yeah. I have a friend and we're going to collaborate and we're kind of planning that. It'll be all new offering and I'm really excited. We're kind of picking locations and it should be fun.
that is the exciting stage of it, picking a location and figuring out what you're going to do together. Well, that sounds good. And you post all of these on your website. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. They're a great time. I really do hope women give themselves the gift of a retreat. It doesn't have to be mine, but just to go and do something like this, step outside your norm and give yourself that time and space. And it's beautiful. So yeah, I highly recommend them.
That's great. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're very busy because you're always doing new projects, and your newest one, or at least I think it's your newest one, is Rosie the Art Bus. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. That's the exciting thing I'm doing at the moment. But I could not find an art studio. Yeah, I was looking. I live in an expensive area. Seattle's really outrageously expensive. And I couldn't find an affordable art studio. And finally, I just was like, you know what? I'm going to just buy a school bus and convert it to a mobile art studio. So basically, I went and looked at a retail space. And the bus cost less than 1 month's rent at the retail space. So I was like, I think I'm going to buy the bus and then I can go anywhere.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's incredible. I'm really not to harsh on Seattle, but, it's not that supportive for artists to live here. At one time, I think it was, but we have a lot of tech companies and, Amazon and, you know, Microsoft and Boeing, and, they've really kind of pushed out all the artists. So it's hard to make it here as an artist, and most have left, which is unfortunate. And I kind of have a little beef about that with this area. And the value of artists here is kind of discouraging because it isn't valued. So yeah, I bought the bus, and I kind of did it as a statement too, to be like, you know what, we're here. You know, we live here, we work here, and you know, you haven't killed us all yet. Like, we haven't all moved. So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a traveling billboard that this is an artist. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to, in a nice way, I want to bring art visibility to the community. So, I mean, I have, like, you know, altruistic motives as well, but, you know, I wouldn't stay here if my kids weren't here, because of the cost of living and lack of studio space. But yeah, so it's what I did out of desperation, basically, because people are like, oh my gosh, that's so creative. And I'm like, you know, what is the phrase? Necessity is the mother of invention. I'm like, yeah, I have no options. Like, I have to be in a bus, you know?
Yeah.
So make the best of it. You think outside the box.
Yeah. Yeah. So you painted it a base of pink, and then you put your flowers on it. It's just beautiful. Yeah.
It turned out to be such a blessing.
I've seen pictures of the inside of it, and it's not, were the seats already in there and you had to take them out?
Yeah,
because it doesn't look like a bus.
No.
When you look inside, it does. It looks like a beautiful, women's, what do they call it? The she shed or something.
Yeah, it totally does. Yeah. No, we like completely renovated it. So when I bought it, it was, still in its natural state. It's an old bus. It's a 2002 Bluebird, short bus. So, the seats were in it. It was, you know, just rough looking. We tore everything out, put new flooring in. We kept two of the seats, faced them towards each other, and then built like a couch with an ottoman between them that slides out. And so, yeah, I mean, we did massive renovation, but it's still cheaper than, you know, renting a place here for a couple months. But yeah, I mean, I live also in a suburb, and, you know, everything's beige, and there's no art. So I really do feel strongly that, like, children and adults need to see that, you know, art exists. And so, you know, it's pink, and it's hard to miss on the road, but everybody has loved it. I mean, it's like this beloved art studio. Everyone loves her, and people know about her. Like, everywhere I go, people are talking to me about her, you know, or, oh my gosh, I heard about this bus there, you know, so everyone's excited about it. It's been really fun. So I'm really glad I did it, and I'm mobile.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Tell me about, you did an art show, and you brought the bus to the art show. I think I saw that on Instagram. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I don't do a lot of shows, but, I do like to connect to the community. And after the Rose Project was up, I was like, how do I keep this momentum going? I want to have these connections with strangers. I want to hear their stories. So the bus is kind of an extension of that project. It's like Year of Roses, year two. With the bus, and I met a man who came on my bus, and he told me an amazing story, and I was telling him kind of about the Rose Project, and he said, well, the bus is your rose now. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that. You know, I was like, 'cause it is.
Yeah.
It's a way to connect, which is really important to me. And so, Yeah, I took it to a show. I invite people on for tours. I sell my products on there. I also paint. The purpose of it was to have a place to paint. Like, I needed a space. So the half of it is a dedicated like workspace, painting space. The other half is where I display my products, and there's a couch and table. And I want the community to feel ownership over it too. And people seem to really feel that way. Like, it's very endearing to a lot of people. So yeah, I consider it something I should share. And I built a deck on top. I can paint on the top so people can actually see the creative process unfolding. And some of my musician friends want to play.
Oh, I love that.
There. Yeah. I think it's really important for people to see how, you know, art is made. So yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, it turned out to be an incredible experience, whereas it started with a little frustration. You know, it was like insane. So did my heat allergy. It was like I started kind of in a negative place, but then it turned out to be incredibly positive. And I would have rather had this studio stationary retail space, because I love being free to, like, every day I wake up and I'm like, where do I want to work today? Like, I can go to the beach, I can go to the lake, you know, it's really exciting. So it gets me out of bed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that. And I know somebody asked you, or one of your questions was, people asked you, how hard is it to drive? And you said, it's not. You can take it anywhere. Yeah.
It's not hard at all. I mean,
that's great.
It's so easy to drive. It's like, and it's fun. And, you know, people are aware of the bus. So they let me get over. I mean, yeah, there's so many windows, so many mirrors. It's really fun. I couldn't believe how fun it was to drive. I feel like a child. Like, there's a lot of joy involved in driving that. So,
yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you said that you're able to have some of your products in there and just available to sell. What are some of the things that you sell? I saw recently you had a beautiful hat on.
Yeah. I found a local company. They make these hats. They actually hand stitch them. They're trucker hats. So they put my art on the top, and I love those. They're really fun. Actually, when people try them on, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love them. That's a new offering. I do necklaces. I love that. I do prints and necklaces and journals and cards and affirmation decks. So I have, over the years, water bottles, you know, I've grown that part of my business too. So.
Yeah, and I saw you have an active Etsy site, so people can go to Etsy and find things as well. And I like, one of the things I saw on your site were the rose cards. Can you tell me about that? It looks like it's a way of extending your rose project.
Definitely. So it's inspired by my daughter, who's 9 now. When we were doing the rose project, like, everywhere we went, she would see someone and say, oh, Mom, I think they need a rose. Or, you know, this elderly couple walked by us and said hi to her. And she's like, Mom, I wish I could give them a rose. And I was like, well, I don't always have a rose. You know, I have one every day, and that's it. So, but we started noticing, like, everybody needs a rose. So I made those. I made these little cards. I have a rose on one side. On the back is, like, an uplifting or inspiring quote. And so I made different sets. And then we carry them around, and we can give them out whenever we want, which is the idea behind, if people buy them, you know, they can stick them in cards or gifts, but they can also just pass them out to strangers. So it's like, anybody can do the rose project, but you don't need to buy a rose, you know, which is a little expensive, and it's not always available, you know, like, you're not always near a place that has a rose.
Right.
So this is really simple. They're like small and, you know, kind of narrow cards, and you can stick them in your purse. So that, I love that project.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. What else do you want to talk about? You do so many wonderful things. Do you have other big projects or plans for the coming year?
Actually, I am working on a new project, but until it's ready, I can't really talk about it. But I'm really excited. I do always have some, like, passion projects in the works. I mean, I have some books coming up. I'm working on another book. That's more art based than my memoir, which is, you know, the story of the year. Yeah. So I'm working on those. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people ask me, like, how you develop your own style, and, we could talk about that, or, I don't know. Was there anything?
Let's talk about that.
I think a lot of people are good at, like, copying work, and I, you know, to learn, that's great. But then a lot of people are like, how do I develop my own style? And I'm pretty passionate about people finding their own style. I think that's important. And I would just say, like, if whatever you're doing in your own life, if you're, the more you get to know yourself outside of your art, you know, the more that'll be infused into your art. You know what I mean? So, like, just getting quiet and really figuring out who you are and then bringing that in. Because there's some artists that are doing such unique things that I look at and I'm like, wow, they are really in their own flow, you know? But I think what they're doing is a lot of work outside the studio on themselves and then merging that, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense, but that topic comes up a lot.
No, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And I think we have such a busy life. Mm-hmm. Everyone has busy lives that they don't give themselves time enough to really be quiet with themselves.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's easier not at work. So yeah.
Well, yes, that's the easy way out.
Yeah. It's the work no one wants to do, but it is really important. And then paying attention to your life. Like we were talking about the rose cards, like my daughter saying that to me, it was like, that was like a clue to me of like an idea, you know, and just so paying attention, like what's actually going on in my life. Like I'm really connected to my grandparents and that rose story. And so, you know, it's like, what can you draw from in your own life that makes you unique, you know, and then infusing that into your work. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you've definitely made an impact on your daughter who wanted to just continue with the roses. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. She inspires me. So.
Yeah, they're great that way. I have a daughter as well, and they never cease to amaze me.
they could probably give us all our ideas. I mean, I could have blown her off and kind of been like, yeah, whatever. But then it's like, wait a second, like maybe she's onto something, you know? Like
right,
yeah.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, do you have any of your artwork in other people's shops in the Seattle area?
I have some in a gallery right now. I have a solo show at a local gallery, and that's up till August. And that is
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a compilation of my rose project. So there's my writing and my art and the art I did in the last year. I mostly sell online. It's easier. And
okay.
Yeah, you know, so I don't do a lot in store. I do have products in stores, but not my originals mostly. So. Yeah.
Okay. What's the name of the gallery where you have the solo show?
It's called Art East Gallery in Issaquah.
Oh, okay.
Another interesting name, Issaquah. Yeah.
another Indian name.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just spent some time in Rhode Island, and they have all these rivers and towns with these Indian names. So yeah. Okay. Now, do you sell things right off of your website, or are they all through Etsy?
Right now, they're all through Etsy. I might be changing that in the future. I just like revamped my website, and we thought we'll do the revamp first and then address like if I want to just take it out of Etsy and onto my own site. So yeah, for now, they're on Etsy.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Or out of your bus.
Right. Right. Yeah. Hopefully doing that more and more. Yeah. And I'm offering a private day session with me in the bus. So it's an 8-hour private painting and, you know, adventure session with me. So that I'm really excited about that, too, in the bus.
That's great. Have you done that yet? Has anyone taken you up on it?
Yeah, I have three coming up. I'm allergic to heat still, so it's hard in, like, the hot weather to do it, even though I have really good air conditioning.
Gotcha.
We did install, like, a super unit, an air conditioning unit in there. But it's easier. So we're doing them in, like, more in the fall. But, yeah, I'm hoping.
I gotcha. They're on your calendar.
Yeah, and that's a chance for people to spend the day with me and ask questions about business or art, you know, either one. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I like the one-on-one. I'm not offering classes in there, but I'll do, like, the private. So, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, that sounds fun. Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, it's been so lovely talking to you. I am definitely inspired by your story of your transformation. That's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate being here.
Yeah. Anyway, so thank you very much. You have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. Thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist podcast. I hope you had so much fun listening to Carrie like I did. talking about her journey as an artist. It's amazing that she's done so much in just 10 years. I'll put links to my website, but be sure and stop by hers often to see her new retreat offerings and exciting new projects. Here are some great takeaways from this episode. Number one, as Carrie says, do one thing every day in the direction of your dream. Number two, if you want to create a 365-day project like Carrie did, be sure that you work it into your daily routine. And make sure you give it a powerful end, like Carrie did when she gave her last roses out at a women's shelter in Seattle. Number three, at the end of her day, she asks herself, did I do the best I can do today? I think that's a great way to reflect and prepare for your next day to continue on your art-filled path. Number four, as Carrie says, we need some downtime to create a quiet space for ourselves. In this crazy time where we are attached to our phones, we need to relearn what it's like to sit quietly by ourselves and occupy our minds with thoughts that fill our souls. Number five, Instagram and Pinterest are great places to show photos of your art. Carrie was recognized in Pinterest and able to obtain licensing deals through that notice. Number six, consider getting your artwork printed on products like hats and water bottles. Carrie sells these things in shops and from her bus. Number seven, if you can't find or afford studio space near your home, consider an alternative space like Carrie has for her bus. Rosie the Art Bus came about because she was unable to find affordable space, and the cost of the bus was less than 1 month's rent of a retail space. Now she can paint by the beach, at a park, wherever she wants to take the bus. Number eight, think about alternatives to offering traditional art classes. Carrie is offering a week on an island in Washington for women to work on projects in a quiet, beautiful space, but there's no teaching involved. I hope Carrie has inspired you to challenge yourself with a new project and be brave enough to try something new, no matter how unusual the idea might be. Keep her in your radar, as she's got more books in the works, and she's always adding exciting new retreats. In the show notes on my website, I've posted lots of photos of Carrie's artwork, as well as pictures of Rosie the Art Bus. You've really got to see how she set it up on the inside. My website is SuzanneRedmond.com, and Carrie's is CarrieSchmidtDesign.com. Thank you to Carrie Schmidt for speaking to me today and sharing your story. And thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. The music on my podcast is from Squire Tuck. I'm Suzanne Redmond. See you next time.